You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart now and always.
This morning I want to preach a sermon. I want to weep and cry. So open your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. And I am pained as I preach this. Don't sit down. Titus chapter 2. Then you will sit down. Verse number 11 to 15. Verse number 11. Titus chapter 2. That's my text. Then I will share with you and we will pray. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation as appeared to all men. Now there are grace preachers. They preach verse 11 and I totally agree. But they don't preach verse 12. They stop at verse 11. Grace brought salvation. But can we talk about what else grace teaches us? That grace, however, teaching us that denying or resisting or rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts for money, we should live out three ways. Soberly, number one. Righteously, number two. And godly, in this present world. Anything outside this is not what the grace of God has come to tell you. Simple. Summarized the entire New Testament in that one verse. Denying ungodliness, live soberly, moderation, righteously, whenever you go out, do what is right, and godly, chase after God. That is what we, what is what a Christian should do. Outside that, you are not a Christian. I don't care which church you attend. Church does not make you a Christian. Be it FOTA. You are not a Christian because you attend FOTA. Living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm angry because some preachers say church make you a Christian. It's not true. Christ make you one. We magnify church above Christ. Yes, sir. We magnify our pastors above Christ. The grace of God teaches us that. Then, as we're living this present world, we should be looking. Next verse, because they've stopped preaching this. Looking for that blessed hope. As we're living now, we are hoping for his rapture. The glorious appearing, hallelujah, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you see? Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous, we lack that one, of good works. Now verse 15, the last verse. These things, Pastor Tolu, you must speak, you must what? And you must, we don't like rebuke. With all, we don't like number three. To rebuke means to correct people now when you are wrong. When we are correcting, they don't like it. Speak, they want that one. We are speakers, motivational speakers. Exhort, we are exhorters and preachers. Rebuke with all authority. While you do that, let no man despise you. Because the way they despise, plenty. I know a preacher that will despise Kasali. You know what they say? Our commission is richer than their own commission. You can't despise me. And ministry is not about money. You can have 25, 3500 jets. You can't despise Kasali. Me? You don't know me. I will preach the truth. You say, how many branches do they have? We have 500 branches. You can't despise me. Because they will try to use their success to intimidate you and despise you. And you too are despised. Father, use me as a vessel of truth today to my generation. In the name of Jesus. Sit down. Are we becoming a godless generation? I know the answer, but I will not tell you. I want you to answer. For by their fruits, you must tell me if we are becoming a godless generation. And if we are, Godwin, we have work to do in Fulton. Because your job is to raise godly. We must let people know that we want to be a godly church. Raise godly generation. We are in trouble. With the things happening today, we are in big trouble. I'm telling you, I am afraid of this country, the way Nigeria is going now. This country. Our problem, quote me anywhere, is non-political, it is moral. Nigerian problem is not PDP, APC. Both of them are the same. Our problem is morals. The way we worship money in Nigeria, I doubt if there's any nation on the face of the earth that worships money the way we do it. I doubt it. I doubt it. I've traveled far and wide. I've seen how nations behave. I've seen how generations act. I doubt it. If there's any country on the face of the earth that loves money, money, the way Nigerians love it. Politicians, traditional rulers, students, pastors, all of us put together, we worship mammon. We worship money. We worship money. Where God is, I don't want to conclude. I'm asking God to give me the word to say. To say, I'll keep asking you, because I don't know who did this to us. It all started with this, all this nonsense called prosperity preacher. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. There's nothing wrong. The way we presented it is wrong. There's nothing wrong with prosperity at all. There's nothing wrong with prosperity at all. But the way we preached it, you know, over the last 20 years is wrong. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. The way we have presented and preached it is wrong. Look at where we are now. Young boys eating raw chicken. Who did this to us? Even countries all over the world where there's poverty, they don't chase money the way Nigerians chase money. We have a problem. We are so religious, but not godly. The greatest threat, write it down, to godliness is religion. I'm telling you, I've sat next, the greatest threat to godliness, which is being like God. Godliness is having the character of God. Having the character of God. The greatest threat to it is what? Religion is having a form of godliness. Having a form. Religion is outward. Godliness is inward. The word form. Look like. This is how godly people act. Let us act like them. We are not godly. So we now wear religion like a mask. So we are so religious. Every street in Lagos have a church or two. Everybody going to club on Friday night, doing ritual killing on Saturday, goes to church on Sunday to do Thanksgiving. We have a problem. I beg. Nonsense. It makes me angry. Pastors have become gods, especially you Pentecostal pastors, including me. Me, Yomika Sali. We are all the same. Are we becoming a godless generation? Think. Because the way things are working, shall we show you the signs of godlessness? Then you will make your own conclusions. For by their fruits, you can't be patriotic and become deceitful. Don't be lying to yourself to say you are good when you're not good. We are godless. Our fruits, our actions. You will see an elderly man disrespected because he has no money. You see a small boy worshipped because of money. There is nothing young girls cannot do today for money. Nothing. Nothing. And they go to church. I'm pained. Who did this to us? All of us on the pulpit should resign, for we have failed our generation. We have failed because we want to build a bigger cathedral, have oil and gas, have jets. We now lower standard. We preach immorality. We preach love of money. We preach wealth. If I alone become the only voice preaching against mammon, I will do it till I die. For you cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It is written in my own Bible. It has not been deleted. When was the last time you had a preacher preach it? That you cannot serve God and mammon. Either you love one and you hate the other, or you hate one and you despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I don't know which school you want to go to explain this. You don't need to be educated to explain this. You cannot. We are serving mammon. Then that means we're not serving God. A man of God came to me. We were discussing another man of God. Dear me, you know I'm a bold preacher. So in my office, we're discussing. He said, this man, why don't you, what do you think about the man? Is he a man of God? I said, that man is not a man of God. He's a father. I said, look at me, he's not a man of God. He's a father. I said, I'm telling you, he's not a man of God. He said, why? I said, my Bible tells me, you cannot have God and mammon. The signs following him, if he loves money, he serves money, he worships money, therefore, they can't cohabit. It's not possible. He's not serving God anymore. He has backslided. I don't care how great he is. It is a Bible. Is there? You cannot serve both of them together. They're like two parallel lines. They can't meet. The values of mammon and the value. You know, my vision is one day, God will, I will probably call the PFN president. We will do what they call a prayer walk to dethrone mammon. You know, we just go and pray. And our prayer point in Nigeria, all this prayer work doesn't end SARS. SARS is not a problem. SARS is a product of mammon. You don't know. SARS is a product of a broken down society. We are all boys will increase. We are deceiving ourselves. The way to fix Nigeria, fix the morals. People sell their vote for 10,000 naira. Vote. Mammon. We worship money badly. We should rise and pray 30 days prayer. Oh God, we stand as church. We remove, we dethrone mammon in our land, in our community. We should be praying, mammon, you will fall. Mammon, you will fail. That's a prayer point. Brother, we're enthroning mammon every day. Are we a godless generation? Jesus spoke about generations. Matthew chapter 11. Because generation means that a system, a society, the values running a society. There have been different generations in scriptures. And Jesus said some things that shocked me. In Matthew 11, he complained about in his own generation. Jesus, our Lord, when he walked in his own generation, he said, even my own is terrible. Matthew 11, 16. Because I want to explain to you that there have been different generations over time. Very simple. And because that generation, they were so godless, Christ had to complain. He complained seriously. And to today, we don't even understand that. We don't think it's money. We are rich. Look at Matthew 11 verse 16. Whereunto shall I liken this generation? This is Christ comparing his own generation. Our own generation in Nigeria, the age bracket, the system governing the current structure, the way we think, the way there's a spirit, you know. Where unto can I liken them? It's like unto children sitting in the markets, calling unto their fellows, saying, we have piped unto you, you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, you have not lamented. So you see, you have not responded. You know how much we have preached and there's no response. You know, when you pipe, you expect them to dance. When you lament, you expect them to mourn. Two different emotions, joy and sorrow. So he now said, John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, behold, a man gluttons, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans, saying there's nothing you can do to please these people. Then he now said in verse 20, powerful verse. Then began he to upbraid the cities. Now there's a generation and there are cities. So he was saying generation. Let me now speak about Lagos. Then I'll go to Abuja and Port Harcourt. Let me now begin to rebuild cities. He now began to pick cities in his own generation. So he now said, you're wearing most of the mighty works were done. because they repented not. Who told you seeing is believing? Jesus said they saw, did not believe. So it's not mighty works that makes a city repent. Mighty works were done, yet they did not. Christ said, it's not, forget that nonsense. Oh, they can see. Do you know how many crusades Lagos has witnessed? How many preachers have preached great messages? Yet they did not repent. So forget that nonsense. Seeing is not believing. No. They can see and not believe. Then began he to operate them. Look at one of them. Verse 21. Woe to thee, Chorazin. Woe to thee, Bethsaida. Bethsaida is a house of fish. That was where Peter and Andrew were found and raised. They grew up there. That was where Philip lived. John was there. So you can imagine the great apostles that Christ witnessed to there. Why? Now this is a frightening scripture. This is a generation. Which for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Comparing two generations and two cities. Years before. Ezekiel 28, that was the same place that God was speaking to Satan, the type of Satan in Tyre, the king of Tyre. He now said, woe to the good universe, they will have repented. Next one. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre at the day of judgment than for you. Now this means that even hell has grades. More tolerable. In that, your own punishment will be worse than theirs. With those guys, if what we did here had been done there, they would have repented. Can you imagine God, Jesus Christ, in glory, saw the sins Tyre committed, and he saw the sins they were committing. He said, we had more miracles here, more wonders here, more manifestations of glory here. Yet, for where? Those ones didn't get so much, they were punished. Look at the next verse again. Then go to the verse. And thou Capernaum, which art exalted above heavens, unto heavens, shall be brought down to hell. Forget those rays today. They can be demoted tomorrow. For if the mighty was, I want you to notice that Christ was speaking about generations and cities, which had been done in thee, had been done in Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah. You mean that our generations can be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah? They didn't eat shit burger. I had for the first time in my life that Nigerian youth will put dung, feces, excreta into bread to eat because of money. Madness. You don't get it. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. What kind of generation will do that? I'm sure Americans, if they hear, they will say we're not normal, but animals. Cannibalism is practiced because of money. You pick an animal and you are eating raw. Who did this to us? How did we get to this point? What people do for money, you don't want to hear. We're in trouble. Are we that godless? Are we that godless? We should repent in sackcloth. And the church is playing politics with godlessness. Young people's lives are being ruined daily with the messages we preach and the competition we engage in. I'll be bigger than you. They started it from the day of Christ. Which one shall be greater? The apostles were already fighting for greatness before Christ died, though. They already say which shall be greater. Before Christ died, we are competing and comparing ourselves every time. Our own choir, our own church, better our church. Excuse me. Is that not carnality? Are you not yet carnal? Why is Christ in all this? We lower standards because we want to have growth. We want to have growth so we can have money. Because it's in the numbers, that and offering. We want to have money because we want to buy the jet he bought. That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate, nothing more. Buy the house he bought. So you can imagine what is driving us to do what we do in churches 100,000 members. He has a dome. It's a lie. So me, I want to do my, what do I have to do? Lower standard. Get all kinds of people, get politicians, steal money, come in, lie. For what? Okay, after I build that 100,000 member church, what will now happen? You start small, lower standard. For what? So you can have members. Okay, lower standard. When members come, what for? So you can have more tithe. Okay, I get more tithe. Then you can have more branches. I get more branches. Then you keep lowering standard. And then you can have more money. I get more money. Then build more houses. I build more houses. And you build more universities. I build more universities. You buy more jets. I buy more jets. Build more cathedrals. I build more cathedrals. I'm still waiting for after that. What next? Not as this, what next? So what next? So after that, what? You have practice America. After that, you have more money. After that, you have more money. After that, you have more money. After that, nothing. Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. There's no glory of God in it. It's all about me. Me. There's no God there. If you read it, continue for me. Give me that. Because I want you to understand that Christ himself complained about his own generation. Because we have to ask ourselves, how can I liken our own generation? Go back to Sodom. So Christ said, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what Sodom did? For Christ to say, it shall be more tolerable. In verse number 23. He says, and thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. To hell. To hell. Here is my Bible. For if the mighty works would have been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. I don't think you know that is your Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah would have remained. So is God saying they didn't have the opportunity of great preachers, great miracles? Only one man was a lot, and he didn't was even living right. So even God knew that if Sodom had had some great preachers, maybe it would have remained unto this day. That's what God said here. Christ said it too. So Sodom would not have destroyed. But I said to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. That is frightening. So you don't tell me he was comparing generations. The level of godlessness. And he spoke also in Matthew chapter 12. Just move quickly. Verse 39. They asked him in verse 38. Certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered and said, Master, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil, an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That's verse 39, Matthew chapter 12. There shall be no sign given to you, but a sign of prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly for 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh, can you now see another generation, shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That was him, not anyone today. He now says in verse 43, when your clean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through the dry places seeking rest, finds none. Then he said, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds the place empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goes out and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked. So even demons have that level of wickedness, degrees of wickedness in satanic kingdom, more wicked than himself. They enter him, dwell there, and the last stage of that man on Nigeria or Lagos is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. That's the keyword. Generation. Are we a godless generation? Yes. Why? Seven more wicked spirits have been released upon Lagos, upon Nigeria. Make them, the last state is worse. Nobody could believe. I could not believe what the people are doing today. I can't believe it, what they do today. You keep wondering, are we this debased? How can we get to the, how did we get here? Looks like some seven more wicked spirits have been released upon the land. The way it's going on now, people will be killing themselves. Look, a few days ago, I was with a man. I'm trying to do a transaction. And the man was a man in his 70s. And we're talking. The man said, I'm going to take the document myself. I want to see the reverend. So he said, I can't give you the document. We're now talking about how godless our generation has been. He said, a friend of his, I think, the children or the child faked his own kidnapping to extort money from his own father. The trauma he put his father through and his mother. The boy was not kidnapped. He was the one that faked it. And the kidnappers were his friends. And you traumatize your parents. And we are keeping quiet this generation. How can you do that to your own father and your mother? Hey, what if they had stroke? All because you want. Wait. Look, I'm not happy the way we're not talking about this issue anymore. Mammon is ruling and reigning everywhere. You can be out there, you must resist it. You must deliberately be conscious that I will not worship Mammon. Is there the generation we have a problem? Let me give you some signs and then I'll close. I'll give you 5 signs and I'm going to ask you to answer your question. Are we a godless generation? You answer it yourself. It's very important. Matthew chapter 10, before I go there, I think that's how I like the way Matthew is putting it. There's now in verse 15. He said it there. Verily, verily, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for this city. See, I want to let you know that there are some countries and some generations that are performing worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what I'm saying. That's what Christ said. In his own time, if Christ were to be alive today and here, really, literally, he would say this generation is the worst of all generations, especially Nigerian society. Nigeria, I'm speaking Nigeria, Lagosians, Nigerians. The way, I don't know who did this to us. I don't think it's the politicians, because they too are just enjoying the spirit. That's why I've been saying, let's raise moral institutions. Number one, home. Let parents stop putting pressure on their children to look for money. If your parents, you parents, any parent, there was a young girl that told me, the mother told her, go and do as they do, pay your school fees. She's a wicked mother. To tell your daughter to go and do as they do, to pay her school fees, how are they doing? Go and do runs. You know your daughter is doing prostitution, you're not saying anything bad? Who did this to us? Who did this to us? Yet we say we are religious. We go to church, but we can't see the fruit of church in us. Number one. And this message got me thinking, especially when I heard what Pastor Deboye said last week. I said, it was very inspiring, and I didn't understand it. Because no matter how righteous you are, there was a man that was righteous, a good man, in a terrible generation. The Bible says his spirit was vexed. Lot, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. His spirit was vexed. Vexed means provoked. And then he became compromised with the things he saw and he heard. That's why I've been speaking to you about audio visuals, media. Media. With the things, give me 2 Peter chapter 2. And deliver just Lot. That word just means just justice, not just as in alone. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Next verse. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, visual and audio. These two is what we call media. The media is part of the scheme to push corruption, immorality. Media, in seeing and hearing, vexed is what? Righteous soul. No matter how righteous you are, when you see, when you hear, it will be vexed. From day to day, with their what? Day to day, to the point where, look at me, Lot now began to think like they were thinking. When the men now came, he said, wait, I have daughters. Let me give them to you to go and sleep with them. Can you imagine? May I have one daughter? Imagine me say, I will date rapist, arm robbers in my house, say, sleep my daughter. For where? You will kill me first before you sleep my daughter. He had been vexed. He had seen it over time, so it had become normal. You know what you see over time? You even say, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it is me. It is bad. No, you start thinking, maybe it is. So Lot now starts saying, are you sure I'm not the problem? Because after all, Pastor this in Capernaum Avenue in Sodom, he's also doing it. Bishop this in Zidon Close in Sodom and Gomorrah. Also, do you have many? I think it is me. I have the problem. Okay, hey guys, come and sleep with my daughters. At least I'm still better than you. I'm giving my daughters, not that men. I'm not giving you men to sleep with. I'm giving you girls. Both are sins, though. But I'm willing to be a better sinner. The men came for men. Come and sleep with girls. I'm a better sinner. The righteous Lord, he vexed his soul in what he saw and heard. For the first time in my life, I didn't know what they call silhouette challenge. You know what they call it? I just read something on the internet. Pastor Deboe condemns silhouette challenge. I said, what is this? I didn't know. So I called my PA and Sandra, the ones that know everything on social media. I said, come, daughter, come and teach me what is silhouette challenge. They said, you don't know, sir. What do I know? He said, girls in Nigeria will be naked. That's what they told me. I don't know. And they'll put red light on themselves. That's what they told me. I don't know. And I don't see. I don't want to see you. And they'll put red light on themselves naked. And they'll be dancing. Am I right? You are laughing at me. Or you're like me. You don't know? Say the truth. You know. Say the truth. I don't know. You know. You know. You don't do, but you know. Am I right? Don't draw. Don't draw. You are Christians. It's nonsense. Every preacher in town should condemn it. I join my voice to Pastor Deboy. I condemn it. Tell them I condemn it. You should be ashamed of yourself. Do you know what red light means? Red light is prostitutes. When you say red light district, it means prostitutes in America. Go and check it. When the police is saying we are going to red light district, it means prostitutes. Go and Google it. And then they said TikTok, that's a mobile app, whatever app they call it, want to make good girls prostitutes. Lopolo. They want to make you a prostitute and you are happy. There is something wrong with your brains. Whoever is doing it, give me. You make us, I don't have to like me. Something is wrong with you. You strip yourself naked. They are calling you prostitute and you are dancing. Red light district means prostitutes. They put red light on you. And then you are dancing naked. Why? I asked them. I said, do they pay them money? They said, no. I didn't know. Because I said, why is it a challenge? Is it a challenge? I said, no, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's trendy. There's no money. If you are trending, you make money. If you are trending, you make money. How are you making money? It's madness. Are we a godless generation? Yes. In Genesis, they're attacking God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Put up for me. All of you will read Genesis 3, verse 7. You will tell me why God did his own style. Genesis 3, verse number 7. So you can understand what God did. He did on purpose. And then you will now see that what they are doing is they are trying to attack God. This generation is deliberately attacking God. I don't know. Genesis 3:7. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What aprons means? To cover your nakedness. Fig leaves. Then verse 21. You will tell me why God did this all. And unto Adam and to his wife, the Lord made coats of skins and clothed them. The difference between covering and clothing is coat. Coat is longer. It's a garment. Why did God clothe and not just cover? In verse 7, man just covered. Meaning, I will just cover small. You can see a lot more parts. God said, no. I will clothe. Why didn't God just say, okay, you can grow, you are covered? God saw something wrong with that dressing. So he gave you a new one. Now what we are doing is, we are even removing the coats, we are removing the covering. Even Adam was more righteous than you. He covered. Adam covered. You understand? You don't want to be covered. You can see that. Away, godless. Nudity has become common. Women do not see anything wrong with sharing their nudities with people. We have a problem. Brethren, we're in trouble. Do you know how they define cheating? When I was in a relationship with my fiance for 4 years, cheating was, we couldn't even cheat. You can't cheat. How can you cheat? But today I understand cheating in Christian courtship is the lady sleeping with somebody else. Not even dead, sleeping. Because both of them are normally sleeping. So sleeping for themselves is normal. So when you now go and sleep with somebody else, when you're, that's now cheating. So sleeping together in relationship is okay. Don't say, sir, this person cheated on me. How? Sleep with somebody else. Why you sleeping together? But yes, that's normal. Cheating. We have a problem. And we're not discussing the moral decadence in our society. We're not even mentioning that to us. Everything is okay. Everything is not okay. Brethren, look at me. Everything is not okay. We have a problem. Everything is not okay. Don't tell me to lie to myself. Moral decline is on a fast. You know when you're going fast decline. Who did this to us? I don't know. How did we get here? Our culture is against it. Yoruba culture, Igbo culture is against all these things. Our scripture is against it. So what? I don't know. I don't, we have a problem. And we are living as if everything is a... There's a problem. That was the first time I heard of it. I never heard of what they call silhouette. Me, body. It was not, they say Pastor Debo condemns it. What is he condemning? Our father in the Lord, our daddy, if he's condemning something, let me go and condemn quickly. But what is he? And how would they condemn? I said, Papa should not have condemned. Papa should have cursed. Should have cursed. Because it's something that we need to really sit and say, may I beg you for a... How can you do that? You go, you're a human being, you go and strip yourself naked. Are you okay? Do boys do it? Or it's only men, because I hear it's only women. They do it too. Shameless boys. Shameless boys. How can a human be a boy? If something's wrong with you, go on. Are you okay? No, I don't. Are you alright? Why are you saying? Why, the only people who see their nakedness are mad people. When I was more younger, when you see mad man on the street, he's naked. Are you mad? What's up with you? Are you mad? But are you okay? You strip yourself naked. What for? Stop that nonsense. Did somebody put a spell on you to take your brain out of your head? They said one girl did it. Then Sandra was telling me. And they, I don't know whether they removed the photograph or so. They now send the picture to the father. The father now saw it. She was now angry and was cursing the people that sent it to her father. If you know what you did is okay, why are you not angry? Whatever you do, and your father should be proud of it. That means you know somewhere here that it is wrong. Why are you angry? If what you do, your father knows, and you're ashamed of it, then what he's doing, what is wrong? Am I right? You should be proud of what you're doing. If they send me what Pastor Tora is doing, she knows I'll be proud of it. Your daughter just did a conference in Cuba. Oh, I saw the video. Her Pastor Tolu, fantastic. You get the point? So why are you angry with those that sent your father? Look at your daughter's nakedness. Hey, abomination. Bless them, my time is up. The first sign, love of money. That's the first sign of a generation that is godless. You are going to answer, not me, all of you up there in the gallery. Are we a godless generation? Just answer if it's yes or no. Love of money. Do we love money in Nigeria? Unusually, yes. Are we a godless generation? Super yes. Look at what they told me. They said there are some Yahoo boys, because of money, they will take medicine to run mad for a few months to become rich for 7 years. I'm telling you, you know, when I read these things, I'm like, is this happening? Is this happening? A human being will agree to be mad. A human being will agree for a few months I'll be a madman because I don't have money. Who did this to us? How did we get here? We should rise and cry to heaven to dethrone mammon in our land. A preacher that preaches mammon leave his charge. He's an agent of the devil. Nobody can have the God spirit and be preaching mammon. You can be full of the Holy Ghost, filled with power, and you worship mammon. It's not possible. Rather, you will say, like Peter said, thy money perish with you. Leave their churches, the agents of hell and the devil, to ruin your lives, not God. Ritual killers and you boys are doing unbelievable cannibalism. When I had a human being head, bread, and feces, I couldn't understand it because of money. You know, the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 3 to 5, Satan entered Judas. Satan entered Judas. And the next thing that happened, he went to negotiate and covenant for money for Christ. So when Satan enters you, everything you do is commercial. You commercialize spiritual work. Read your Bible. Luke 22, verse 3 to 5 is there. Luke, if you don't know it, look at me. Luke, L-U-K-E 22. And Satan entered Judas. Number 3, verse 4. Verse 4. The proof that you are possessed by the devil. He went his way and communed with the chief priest, how he might betray him. Verse 5. The betrayer come with a cost. They were glad to covenant to give him money. So if you commercialize the gospel, no matter what you do in life, if once commerce is driving you, it's not God. It's not God. It's not God. Believe you me, Satan entered Judas. Satan has entered many people. Satan has entered many people. You saw that pastor, how they have arrested him. That pastor distributing money with naked in the river. One prophet with naked men and women, they were bathing in the river looking for money. Nakedness. Who did this to us? I heard of young men sleeping with dead people and mad people to become rich. Brethren, a dead man, a corpse, all because of money. Who did this to us? How did we get here? We should blow the trumpet, sound an alarm. Let those that should weep between the porch and the altar. The church should pray and cry and ask God for deliverance, for help. For deliverance, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us. Who did this to us? When big trouble. Brother, wait, I'm telling you. I hope you're getting my message. You see why we have to double our work as raising God people? Because the question still remains. Are we a godless? I can see that your answer is close to mine. It doesn't make any sense. If Titus says preachers are preaching wrong messages because of money. Ladies, that the one that they used to do, that we screamed, is now normal. Stealing ladies' panties for ritual money rituals. I don't get it. You see normal people running around looking for pants to steal. You know, a full grown man looking for pants to steal. Something is. No, I mean, a human being. What are you looking for? Pants? Why? I want to steal. Your mates are walking. You are stealing pants. You want to cut corners. Can you not walk and be patient and make wealth? No. Quick money. So for 1 week, you're looking for pants to steal. Finally, steal one. You don't go around. If you were abroad, they would take you to a psychiatrist. They help us check this man. Something is wrong with him. Because what we're doing is not it's not normal. So when we're doing what is not normal, we now think it's normal. And these young boys, they are so, you know why they want money? Because then when they get money, that girl will come for them. All is a girl, a car, and clubs. That's all. What is that? Is that life? Is that life? Is that life? I know they're watching. It's life. It's life. Leave us alone. It's life. I'm leaving you alone, but that doesn't mean you're not mad. There's something wrong with you. Mad means insane. There's something wrong. You're not thinking straight. You're not thinking right. There's something wrong here about the way you're thinking about life. If you think that it's life, then there's something wrong with the way you are thinking and your perspective of life. Number two, because of my time, number two, church has become a social status. That's my own concern, no? Because when we were growing up, church was a spiritual house, a house of prayer. Now it's social status, it's social network. My late father used to belong to a club back in the 70s. I used to take us there. We used to go there with my family every once in every month or twice. It's called Island Club. My papa, he was a socialite. So where all the socialites in town will go to. I recall a few times I would go there, we'll go to the amusement park, we'll eat suya, you just keep the boys there. So it's the rival club was Yoruba Tennis Club. You know, so if you are a socialite in town, you must go to a club. Now all the clubs are empty. The new clubs are where? Churches. I'm telling you. Go on. Okay. Think of what I just said. The boys now say, which club do you go to? Futa. Probably go to this church. It's a social club where we just go and meet. Hey, how are you doing? Chuck knock boy. Chuck knock girl. So that contract tomorrow. So you go there and look for some fine girls to date. All those married men are in those big churches looking for girls to date because that's their new club. It has become a social state, a social network. We have a problem. It's not a house of prayers anymore. So we dropped the name of the church like they used to drop the name of clubs. We go there for contracts. My father would go there for contracts, go there for friends, go there for deals, go there for women. So they, you know, so that's the same thing we do today in churches. So you change from a small church to a big church so you can get the better deals. It's no more, it has nothing to do with the pastor preaching or teaching you. Are you with me? And you say we should not become godless. How can we become godless? From, we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power. Because the power thereof, can I tell you? Change. You can't be godly and not change. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Because the power of godliness, the impact, when you're godly, people will see the change in your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You can never be godly and they won't see the change in your life. You get the point now? So the word, the power thereof, is not just miracle. It's that the power of changed life. So, but I can see the form, but I can't see the power. Fake. You say you are godly, and you see the same thing. It is just form. Form without reform. You're not reformed, but you have a form. But there's no reformation. There's no regeneration. You can wear it and not be it. Number three. The bold attack on marriage. As for me and my house, who preaches in this church, our family must. As for me and my house is the theme. There's a bold attack on marriage. The oldest institution on earth. Some call themselves feminists. I don't know who they are. It's an attack on the institution created by God. It's raging, it's moving, it's growing. It's an attack on God's views. On marriage. It's an attack on God's opinion on marriage. Divorce is encouraged at a slight instance of a crisis. LGBT has become a political issue, not a moral issue. It used to be moral, they've made it political. It's a moral issue. How can a moral issue become political? LGBT has always been, will always be from day immemorial in the Bible, a moral issue. You get the point now? But it's what they did to make it, to change the concept, is to move it to political. So in America, you can win an election based on your views on LGBT, and you can lose one. But it's a moral issue now. Man and man should not sleep. Man and dog. They say, no, it's not political. It's a strategic plan. Living lovers. Open marriage. I've never heard of it before. Somebody said the husband and wife agreed to practice open marriage. I had to go and ask them, what does that mean in America? They said, both of us will agree to have a relationship. We're still married. It should make sense. Oh God, yeah. Husband and wife will agree to now practice open marriage. Meaning, that's what I had. I don't know how to. You can bring a girl home, you bring a man home, you are aware. So just let me know which one are you dating. I'm not dating Shalewa. Okay, how is she? She's fine. Okay, one girl, John. Which one? I thought that guy is James. Oh, I've dropped James. So it's now John. This one is better. Yeah, I'm telling you. And your husband and wife. Madness. Husband and wife will agree. So it's not cheating, they call it open marriage. They are redefining marriage. They are changing the name, saying the way God created it, we don't like it. Let man now recreate it. God is wrong, man is right. So we'll recreate marriage for ourselves. We'll call this one open marriage. Who are they attacking? God. They are saying God's definition is wrong. Ultimately, all these things are just attacking the Bible. Is this book they don't like? They won't tell you, because if they tell you, you will stone them. They will know you will stone them. They will not tell you. They go there, they look at the values you have. They will now coin it and change it. You won't know they're attacking this book. Ancient word. Because if they come and tell you, they know you'll be angry. Bold attack on marriage. It's now in Nigeria. Living lovers has now been accepted. Premarital sex. Now in Lagos, in Nigerian churches, we don't speak about them anymore. Is now acceptable. In the Bible, they call it fornication. They say it's not true. Now it is acceptable. Cheating in relationship, I've told you about that one. Number one, love of money. Number two, church has become a social status. Number three, bold attack on marriage. These are signs that were godless. Number four, men of God are disrespected and abused. I've never seen a generation that abuses servants of God. You know what I mean? Any war means a revered gentleman. The way we abuse them on social media makes me feel you don't even know what it means to be godly or godless. So we want less of God in our lives. So we attack servants of God. They are human beings. They have their flaws. Godless, less of God. Godless, less of God. How? Attack men of God. 42 children attacked Elisha. A wolf came out to heat them up. Remember the rebellion of Korah. God punished them. Number five, which is last. Pornography and nudity. You can tell me if that one is now a normal thing or not. That's where the silhouette challenge comes in. All these things is just normal. I'm even confused if I'm not the wrong one. Number six is actually social media, but I won't go there. Social media influencers. Mention two or three influencers that are godly. That's your challenge. For you to know that social media is also part of the thing. Those you call influencers, mention two or three that are godly. Just think. Don't tell me. It's a message. It's a message for all of us to think. Sela. Those you guys call social media influencers. I'm not saying religious. I said godly. How many of them are not ashamed of sharing their views on godliness on their timelines and handles? They never go out boldly. They say, no, stop that. I love God too. They keep quiet when God is being attacked. They keep quiet. They allow others to come in and barrage God and judge and everything. They keep quiet. They go to some churches. They keep quiet. If any of them stray to this church and they say about our church, and you're an influencer and they know you, and you don't go once in a while to say, I'm a Christian, then you say like Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you're ashamed of it, there's a problem with you. You say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm not ashamed of it. The fact that others have not done it well doesn't mean it's not right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to close this sermon by asking you a question. I will refuse to conclude. You will make your conclusions. Based on those 5-6 signs, are we a godless? Are we becoming a godless generation? And if it is true, that, who did this to us? Clap for Jesus Christ to your faith.